Chapter 43 Revelation. Jen slammed into the walls over and over, almost losing consciousness as he clung to the chelaine to buffer her against harm. The carriage revolved and spun unpredictably as it churned in the powerful force of the falling water. He braced himself for the impact he thought might end both their lives, but a light splash was all that signalled the end of their violent descent. The water pounded on the carriage roof until the force pushed them downriver. Jen took stock of himself, noting a broken ankle and several bad bruises. Easy fare for the chelaine if she were up to it. He worked quickly to extricate the thrashing young woman from the blankets, sensing through his brand that she had acquired some bruises of her own, but little else.
"We're alive!"
The chelaine hugged him, and the pain from his injuries disappeared. He found himself crying with her, for joy at surviving the fall or for worry about the battle above, he couldn't tell. After several moments, he pulled away, feeling awkward.
"Well, let's see where we are," he said, lifting the key from his neck and inserting it into the lock.
The door faced away from the falls, opening to a boulder-strewn river. Mighty stone walls towered above them, casting the canyon into twilight. The force of the falls pushed them near the northern shore, and Jen spotted a sandy riverbank surrounded by maples where the water moved slowly.
"I can't steer the carriage, so we will have to swim for shore."
"But I can't."
"I know. I'll help you over. Is there anything you need from your trunk? Do you have anything suitable for hiking? Be quick."
The chelaine unlatched the chest and flung it open, pulling out clothes and a wedding dress so ornate Jen could only guess at its worth. Working quickly, Jen fashioned one of her unused dresses into a crude backpack by tying the skirt, closed, and the sleeves together. After leaning out the door and throwing the pack to shore, he grabbed the chelaine's hand. Without giving her time to think, he pulled her into the water. The chelaine gasped in surprise as the cold water enveloped her. The current, while slow, proved difficult for Jen. His sword and boots, coupled with the chelaine's robes, dragged them down, and they only managed to get to the shore with the help of a low-hanging branch. Exhausted, they sat on the riverbank for several moments to recover from the exertion. While Jen could ignore the cold, he noticed the chelaine shivering in the canyon breeze, wrapping her arms close about her. He retrieved the pack.
"You need to change, or you'll catch a chill," he suggested. "Choose something easy to walk in, if you have it. I don't think they'll be able to get to us for many miles. We'll have to walk downriver and meet with them, if they survive. Come, there's a good thicket of trees here. That'll give you a little privacy, at least."
"Do you need healing, Jen?"
"The healing you did in the carriage took care of the ankle and the bruises. I only wish I could do the same for you."
"I didn't heal you in the carriage."
"Yes, you did," Jen contradicted. "When we embraced, remember?"
"I didn't, Jen.
At least I didn't try to. Healing takes concentration and effort. Were you hurt badly?" "A broken ankle and some deep bruises."
"I didn't do it. At least I don't think so."
Jen could sense a worry in her voice, but he didn't ask her about it as she knelt down and rummaged in the makeshift backpack, pulling out a black, divided riding dress and boots with a matching dark blouse and veil.
"They packed these in case there was need for me to ride in stealth. You and I will match quite nicely in black."
The chelaine stood and walked into the thicket.
"You must promise me that you won't try to look at me while I change."
The suggestion stung Jen's sense of propriety.
"I would never," he protested. "The thought hadn't even crossed my mind."
"Oh, of course,"
the chelaine acknowledged, in a strange tone Jen couldn't decipher. Putting his back squarely to the thicket, Jen assumed a soldierly stance and concentrated his gaze on the river's foaming water.
"How was the battle going, Jen? I couldn't see, but I could hear. Could you see my mother?"
"It went poorly. I judge at least 30 men died before we even went in the river. That was before the Uyumark horde. I saw your mother and Shertan fleeing the battlefield on horse. The pontiff and others rode close by. I think the soldiers remained behind to buy them escape time. I think she'll do well if the way before them is clear, though the caravan is done for."
Jen didn't voice what he thought was true. If the Uyumark had any sense, they would fortify the road ahead of the clearing against escape.
"Are we in danger down here?" she asked.
her wet clothes sloshed to the ground. The answer to the question slid away as an overpowering urge to turn and look washed over him. He fought against the sudden, insistent desire, turning his thoughts everywhere, to the danger at hand, to his old master, to Morel's kiss, and even to his training with Shaddan Cairn. He tried to send the compulsion into the emotional nothingness his swordmaster had created within him. Everything broke against the supernatural and unseen command to look. Mind sprinting for any fortification, he ran through every logical reason he could muster not to turn around. The danger to the Shalane, the disappointment of Mirel, a guaranteed dismissal from his post. Jen closed his eyes, gripped his sword, and struggled for mastery.
"Are we in danger here, Jen?"
the Shalane repeated. Her voice showed she was still unaware of his struggle. "Just a glance," he thought. "A quick one."
"Jen?"
She knew. Resistance crumbled. Jen turned. The Shalane had dressed completely save for her veil, and her face, open, beautiful and kind beyond imagination, fixed upon Jen's with an expression of surprise. Wet, blonde curls framed her perfect features, and her pale, utterly flawless face seemed to glow in the dim thicket. Jen could sense rather than see the presence of light about her. Her beauty, both carnal and divine, forged a strange union of passion and worship within his breast.
"Jen!"
she yelled, as if to awaken him. He barely heard it. Thoughts of possession invaded his mind, yelling at him to take her, to claim her before someone else did. She was his. Hadn't he earned the right? Had any other man risked so much for her? Would Shaitan make her as happy as he could?
"I can give her a life of dignity. Take her pain away."
He would kill Shaitan and marry her himself. She would thank him for it. He took a step forward and stopped. The Shalane hadn't replaced her veil, or even moved to do so. Sky blue eyes, once filled with surprise, softened to a wanting tinged with fear. She breathed heavily, almost expectantly. Her reaction confirmed his thoughts. She was his. He could take her. The Shalane wanted him, too, his Alumira Rey, Se Elunwe, the voice that had pulled him from despair and darkness. And at remembering the name he had given her so many nights ago, the pull of her presence quavered and fell, and the urge subsided, leaving him at peace. His face and eyes relaxed, and a sudden joy filled him. He breathed out and smiled at her. The Shalane watched him questioningly, a return smile turning up the corner of her lips. While he felt like running, he managed a nice casual walk to stand in front of her, staring into eyes that were clear, alive, and pure. Stooping, he lifted the veil from a low branch where it hung and handed it to her. She twisted it in her hands, not taking her eyes from his face. She said,
"You resisted. What kind of man are you, Jen?"
"Come," he invited, ignoring the question and turning back toward the river. "We need to find a protected place to hole up in tonight and get a fire going. Night and cold will come quickly in this canyon. To answer your question, I do not think we are in immediate danger here."
"Look at me,"
the Shalane demanded. Jen turned. She still held the veil in her hands.
"How, Jen? How can you do it?"
"Cadean accidentally saw my mother unveiled once, and they almost had to kill him to keep him from dragging her off. I affect men more strongly than she ever did, and yet you resist. Tell me how." "I don't know, Alumira. Be grateful I did. I never want to think of you in that way again. You should put your veil back on." The Shalane held his eyes, searching for something, and Jen waited as she rifled through his soul for answers. At last, she smiled as if she found one. Walking forward, she plastered the wet veil to Jen's chest.
"You wear it. I want to feel the wind on my face."
"You really should put the veil back on." Jen decided he should say that at least once a day, so he could swear truthfully that he had said it when he faced the inevitable inquisition that would come if they ever found the others. He shuddered to think what would happen if Shaitan found out he had seen the Shalane unveiled, and not only seen her, but travelled alone with her for days. Jen already knew to expect several intense sessions with the Pontiff and Ethrys, if the two older men survived the attack, so they could ply their magic to ensure for the prophecy's sake that he and the Shalane had behaved according to propriety while they travelled alone. If they found out she had walked with him unveiled, he doubted they would believe him, truth and innocence notwithstanding. As she had done the last three times he had suggested she don her veil, the Shalane said nothing, choosing instead to flash him a smile that unhinged his knees. Jen could only marvel at her. Each time he looked at her seemed the first, and while he wished she would replace the veil for fear of what others might think, he also wanted her to do it because she was achingly beautiful. The possessive obsession that had overcome him when he first saw her unveiled did not plague him again, but her glory discomforted him. For 3 days he fought to keep his concentration on the task at hand, but her flawless and inviting countenance invaded and occupied his mind, threatening to overwhelm discipline with distraction. Jen tried to use Fenner and Mirel as his defences, but with the Shalane near, he could barely summon either woman's face into memory. In the evenings he tried to immerse himself in practising sword forms, but the Shalane always sat nearby, watching every move with wonder and appreciation. He struggled with a man's innate tendency to show off for a beautiful woman, and nearly lost. Perhaps he did lose. Thankfully, she never clapped or lavished him with praise. She did ask insightful questions about what certain moves were for or what battle was like. He appreciated the questions. Talking to her was easy. Having her stare at him with that affectionate look was hard. He supposed she would wear the veil if he told her of the feelings that she awakened in him, but he feared telling her would complicate the friendship they shared. Every man who looked upon her would no doubt feel the same way as he, that she cared for him. Try as he might, Jen couldn't imagine her face holding malice or even apathy for anyone. Despite the discomfort and privation of the trail and her worry for the caravan, unhappiness never fully took hold upon her features, outing her native good nature. Each day revealed a vivacious, sweet personality that had been smothered by a lifetime of solemnity and the more recent fear of Shaitan, a personality Jen had snatched glimpses of in the dark hours when Alumira had replaced the Shalane on the trail. When he wasn't wrestling with his attraction to her, he found himself staving off feelings of inadequacy. When he saw her, Jen felt ugly inside and out. Perfection exuded from her like light from the sun, and wherever she shined, every shadow was twice as dark. He remembered taking her hand to help her over a tumble of rocks. His tanned, rough hand, marred with a web of scars, seemed like gnarled tree bark next hers. White, smooth, and without a mark or imperfection. Even after 3 days, she bore no scratch, no bug bite, no sunburn. It was the morning of their third day together between the towering canyon walls. The trek proved difficult. They encountered numerous reminders of the battle their first day hiking downstream. Bodies of men and Uyumak washed over the falls during the fight peppered the shoreline, and Jen did his best to steer the Shalane away from the upsetting carnage. He tried interesting her in the plants and vistas around her to distract her mind, initially meeting with only partial success. The pristine, primitive canyon provided no convenient road or path. Trees, brush, deadfall, and the river itself constantly barred their progress, forcing them to guess which way would present the safest course. They guessed wrong as often as not, forcing them to backtrack over rough terrain.
"The trail is longest when first taken," Samian would have said. And from what Jen remembered of the map, traversing the canyon, given a good trail, would take the better part of 4 days. At their current pace, Jen calculated they wouldn't get out for at least 7, if not more. If at all. The Shalane slowed them, and Jen knew she felt badly for it. Jen had grown up with the sounds and sights of the forest. The Shalane had spent her life in what amounted to a dungeon. The memory of their first night by the river would always cheer him, and he hoped he had the chance to tell Maewyn. Every flutter, crack, splash or scratch brought the Shalane from a dead sleep to a rigid, wide-eyed sitting position with, "What was that?" on her lips. Of course, Jen couldn't blame her, given the Uyumak difficulties the caravan had experienced and the threat of the ilk that had haunted her throughout her life.
Jen tried to calm her by telling her he'd seen no sign of Uyumark, and he hadn't. Worse than inexperience, however, was her conditioning. She tired easily and needed long rests before continuing. Through the Imtith, he could sense her cramped calves, aching feet and burning lungs, and to spare her embarrassment, he would stop before exhaustion forced her to admit she needed a rest. These rests provided ample time for conversation. The first day she asked questions about the battle repeatedly, wringing her hands with worry. On the second day, she accepted that they would know nothing for some time, and resigned herself to the task ahead. Despite her concerns, the vibrant world around her gradually worked its enthralling magic upon her. Jen enjoyed her childlike fascination with every flower, plant, or bird they passed along the way, and he found her enthusiasm infectious. She had taken well to eating the plants, roots, nuts, and berries that Jen scavenged for their meals from the abundant flora around them. Jen expected the new regimen of food to sicken her, as it did most of those new to the wild, but he could not see or feel any discomfort from her. If anything, his own stomach fared the worse. Jen peered downriver as the Shalane finished drinking from a still pool formed on the lee side of the immense granite rock they had camped under the evening before. The sun rose between the two walls of the canyon directly into his face, making it difficult to see for any great distance. As yet, the imposing walls and fallen rock had not forced them to cross the river, but from what he could tell, the canyon narrowed ahead, and he feared their path would compel them to climb or swim.
"So what are you going to teach me today, Jen?" the Shalane asked happily, coming to stand in front of him. "I could do without any more talk of how to survive bear attacks. I had the most awful dreams last night."
The Shalane wanted to know everything about the outdoors and eagerly absorbed whatever he told her.
"I know. You talk in your sleep sometimes. Last night was particularly bad," Jen commented as he kicked dirt over the smouldering fire.
"Was it?"
"Yes. I couldn't understand most of it, though I definitely heard you say, 'To your right, Jen, a bear on the trail.' Or maybe it was, 'Yes, you're right, Jen, I'll wear my veil.' Hard to tell with all the mumbling and drooling."
"What I really said," the Shalane retorted, hands coming to her hips, "was, shut up about the veil, Jen, or I'll bash your head in with a rock and push you in the river."
"No, it wasn't nearly that violent."
"Let's go." Jen walked forward, shouldering the makeshift pack. The Shalane took up her position just behind Jen in a reversal of their normal routine when within the castle.
"The way you keep begging for me to put the veil back on is starting to make me think you find me hideous."
Jen shook his head.
"You know that isn't true. Shatan will be livid beyond reason that I'm out here alone with you. I think his head will melt if he knows I've seen you unveiled. Not only that, he'll assume I did what he would do were he in my boots right now. I don't want him to think I would ever stoop to his kind of behaviour."
"Jen, I've worn this veil my entire life. My entire life. You can hardly imagine how tired I am of seeing the world half obscured. I think I'm even more tired of being the Shalane. Always mysterious, always unapproachable, always irresistible. Finally, I find a man I can look at with my naked face without fear of ravishment, a man who talks with me as he would any other person, a man who isn't afraid of me or mad with desire for me. If I weren't stranded in some canyon miles from home, I'd almost feel like a normal woman. Let me enjoy this while I can."
"I'm sorry, Alamira," Jen apologized. She demanded to use the name he had invented for her. "I suppose I just want us both to be above any accusation. I couldn't bear to have your reputation blemished falsely. Or mine, for that matter, for Fenner's sake."
"I understand that. But stop a moment."
She grasped him by the arm and pulled him around.
"Look at me."
Jen did so reluctantly.
"Let me tell you something. Shatan will think you've been out here philandering with me, veil or no veil. Shatan will also not think better of you for not having done so. I think the fact that you wouldn't touch me is completely beyond his understanding. Fenner and my mother will believe anything I tell them. Ethris and the Pontiff will know the truth regardless of what anyone says. As for anyone else, I care little."
"Provided any of them survived the Uyumark attack," Jen added darkly, avoiding addressing the Shalane's point.
"Yes. I have faith they did. Prophecy will be fulfilled, and at least Shatan must have survived. God's will must be done."
I'm not so sure, Jen replied, turning away and leading out again.
How do you mean?
There is an elven saying. For prophecy there must be two, a god to will and a servant to do. God's will, I think, is not enough. Many lesser prophecies have failed because of the folly of men. What's to say this one, despite its importance and grandeur, won't?
The Shalane considered his words quietly for a long time.
Jen chanced a glance at her, finding her deep in thought.
What would we do? She finally asked. What would we do if we came to Elder Lurimora and found that everyone else was dead? What would happen?
If the prophecy be true, then Mikik would have won, and he will do with Kihol whatever he pleases.
No, I mean, what would we do? Say we arrive in a few days and no one ever comes. What do we do then?
I don't know, Jen replied. We could try to return to Rugoth with the bad news, though the Uyumak would likely slaughter us on the way back. I'm not sure we'll get back, even if half the soldiers we came with managed to survive. If we wanted to live longer, we could stay at Elder Lurimora, since Mikik's creatures can't abide it. I'm sure Mikik would change that at some point, but at least for a while, we could sit in relative peace and watch the world fall.
I still think God will provide. I may be naive, but were Shatan or I to fail, Eldaloth would send others to take our place.
You could hope that.
Jen studied the canyon ahead, the narrow gap awaited only a mile away.
If I were sure of it, I would hand Shatan over to the Uyumak at the next opportunity. Maybe the Blessed One's replacement will be a bit more blessed.
I must admit to you that I have grave doubts about Shatan. I know he can father a child, but wherever Mikik is, I doubt he's spending a lot of time chewing his fingernails over your fiancée.
My mother said much the same thing a couple of nights before Regent Ogbith was killed. She didn't say it, but I think she's reconsidering handing Rugoth over to Shatan.
That would mean war. Torbrand would come for Rugoth just as he did for Tolnor. He thirsts for a fight, and will use any excuse to get into one.
He wouldn't find Rugoth quite so easy a plum to pick, no offence to your homeland. We are strong, and a portal away from Ogmir.
That is true, Jen conceded. But I wouldn't worry about it. I doubt your mother would let it come to war. She loves you more than anything, and if she's willing to hand you over to Shatan for the prophecy's sake, then I doubt she would hold Rugoth in higher regard.
What choice do any of us have?
The Shalane returned glumly.
They walked in silence over a gravelly part of the riverbed. The Shalane bit her lip the entire time, as if struggling with something. Finally, she exhaled roughly.
I must confess something to you, Jen. I have never told anyone else, and I feel I should tell you now. I have committed a terrible sin.
He stopped and turned toward her, concerned at her tone.
You shouldn't feel obligated to tell me anything you don't want to, Shalane.
I know, Jen, but I have borne this alone for long enough. Just listen, please. In the spring of last year, Dayson and I were walking alone in the hallway of my chambers, and he asked me to kiss him, on the lips, as a sign of my regard. I did.
The Shalane waited, avoiding his eyes.
And?
That is all.
Did he see you unveiled then? Jen asked.
No, it was through the veil.
Jen burst out laughing, and the Shalane's head snapped up in surprise.
My goodness, Shalane, he chuckled. The way you were carrying on, I thought you had done something truly awful.
It is horrible,
the Shalane fumed, annoyed by his untroubled reaction.
I was unfaithful to my calling. It was a grievous mistake, and I have suffered greatly for it.
I am sorry, Jen apologized. I did not mean to make light.
You should reproach me, Jen. I couldn't tell my mother or the pontiff to whom I should have confessed because I was so scared of what they would say or do.
Then why tell me?
I don't know. I suppose I knew you wouldn't judge me so harshly, though I certainly didn't expect you to find my deeply hidden secret so ridiculous.
Shalane, you try harder than anyone I know to do what is right. Indiscretions that skip off of the consciences of most strike deep into yours. The standard of perfection you set for yourself is so high that an unhallowed knave such as myself can only think it ridiculous when you flog yourself for transgressions I find trivial.
She folded her arms. I am supposed to be holy, Jen. I don't feel it.
And how does holy feel?
I don't know. More confident, more powerful, more good.
I cannot tell you how to feel,
Jen consoled her, placing his hands on her shoulders and holding her eyes with his.
But I will tell you this. I have every confidence in you. You have been stalwart in your duty and courageous in difficult circumstances. You should be proud of what you've done.
Thank you,
she said, smiling softly at her protector. He dropped his hands and continued forward as she followed after.
You are very forgiving.
Not really. I'm right in the gutter of depravity with you. I kissed your mother a few days ago, and it wasn't one of those pathetic show-me-your-regard-for-me kinds of kisses, either.
The Shalane stopped in her tracks, face shocked, but eyes alight with mirth.
You are a knave!
Careful now. Don't add hypocrisy to your list of sins.
She initiated it, the Shalane said. Didn't she?
Yes.
What happened?
I don't want to talk about it, said Jen.
Oh, no, you don't. Hey, slow down. What did Fenner say?
Do you really think I would tell Fenner about it?
They marched on in silence after the Shalane failed to pry any more information from her selectively tight-lipped protector. They passed into the shadow of the canyon as it jogged south and blocked the early morning sun. Birds of prey floated high overhead to catch warmer air, and the Shalane shivered in the shade. Jen realized the bend in the canyon gave it the appearance of narrowing from a distance when, upon arriving, he found it widened. Unfortunately, the river shore switched sides as the water eroded away the other canyon wall for some distance. The side they traversed ended in a stand of stunted pine, behind which rose an impassable grey cliff.
Did I mention, Jen said, that there's a real possibility we could be trapped in this canyon forever?
I hadn't realized it before, but I haven't seen any signs of big animals. And that means they haven't been able to get down here. And that could mean we'll run into a section of the river too difficult to pass.
What would we do?
At that point, we will build a cabin and really hope we liked roots, leaves, and each other. This is a good spot for a little hut, don't you think?
Jen turned to see what effect his quip had on his companion and wished he hadn't. Her smile and the affection in her eyes set his heart to pounding.
What is it?
She asked, noticing a change in his mood.
You're too beautiful for your own good. Seeing a face like yours would make a man think all his dumb jokes were funny.
It wasn't a dumb joke.
Yes, it was.
Do you think I'm just flattering you?
No, you're just inexperienced in matters of humour.
Her hands found their way back to her hips.
Oh, is that so?
Sure, said Jen. The only men you've known have been soldiers. Soldiers are notorious for their unrefined senses of humour. They think getting drunk and falling off a horse is hilarious.
So how could you have learned? So you've thought about this quite a bit, then?
Jen shrugged.
Now don't get so upset. It's not your fault that you wouldn't know humour, even if it were as close to you as, say, that snake is to your boot.
The Shalane yelped and jumped backward, eyes darting around on the ground. Jen smiled, and the Shalane picked up a rock the size of her fist and threw it at him. Jen narrowly dodged it.
Hey!
He protested, laughing.
You could have hurt me. I would have healed you later.
Much later. But if the scholar of humour is quite done with his adolescent little tricks, perhaps he could humour up a way across the river. She crossed her arms, but the smile in her eyes betrayed the angry look on her face. Jen bowed low.
My apologies, m'lady. To get to the other side, I'll need to find some trees taller than these here. I remember some behind us a ways. If we can get two that are long enough, we should have a wide enough bridge to walk across.
The rest of the morning, Jen laboured to find, cut down and clear two straight pine trees. Aldred and Mickmere's sword made easy work of the cutting, but dragging them and hoisting them upright so he could topple them over the river exhausted him. As the second one fell across the rushing water, his vision blurred and he stumbled. 4 days without sleep were finally taking their toll.
Are you all right, Jen?
The Shalane asked, grabbing his arm.
I just need to rest a moment.
You need to sleep, she scolded. You haven't slept at all, have you?
I need to watch. No telling what is out here. I'll be fine till we get out of this canyon. I'll sleep when someone I trust is watching after you.
You'll sleep tonight. You said yourself that nothing is down here.
He looked her in the eye.
I will not,
You will. You'll be no good to me if you can't walk or see straight.
You can't make me sleep.
The Shalane grinned in a knowing way and said nothing. Jen wondered what it meant. After resting for several minutes and splashing cold river water on his face, he felt better. Holding the Shalane's hand, she and Jen walked slowly over the swift, noisy water. The thin tree trunks bent as they crossed the middle, and the Shalane nearly lost her balance, but with a steadying hand from Jen and a quick scamper at the end, they jumped to the ground safe and dry.
"I'll make a May one of you yet," Jen commented as they negotiated a rocky decline dotted with shrubs and loose gravel.
"I'm sure you would like to have her around instead of me by now, though Fenner would no doubt be furious if you spent this much time alone with Maywin."
"She seems quite jealous of Maywin. I don't see why."
The Shalane laughed. "Oh, don't be so coy. You know why.
Enlighten me."
"Maywin's beautiful. She's a warrior. Whether you like to admit it or not, you and Maywin have a lot in common. You're both brave to the point of being reckless, or reckless to the point of seeming brave, and neither one of you seems to do well with authority. You both speak languages almost no one else understands. Both of you think you're right all the time."
"We do not," Jen disagreed.
"Yes, you do. Name one time since you came into my service that you've honestly said I was wrong to anyone."
"Name one time when I have been wrong."
"All right, when you said you weren't sleeping tonight, you were wrong. When you and Maywin attacked an entire Uyumark company by yourselves, that was wrong. And stupid. When you were injured in said attack and didn't accept Fenner's offer to help you, instead choosing to let Maywin assist you, that was wrong. So very wrong."
"I think you strayed from the main point. Fenner, Maywin, jealousy."
"Yes, well, a minor digression was in order to prove you, well, wrong. Anyway, the point is that Maywin intimidates Fenner. Fenner can't see how you could find her more interesting than Maywin. It might not bother Fenner that much if it didn't seem like Maywin had feelings for you."
Jen shot her a disbelieving look.
"Maywin does not have feelings for me, for pity's sake. I don't think she has feelings for anyone, especially anyone human." I think you may be missing something. Just a few nights ago, my mother said to me, I don't think I've ever seen Maywin smile, but Jen seems to have the knack of bringing one to her face. Fenner said much the same."
"I thought we just established that I was the scholar of humour a little while back. Bringing a smile to Maywin's face is only further evidence of my skill."
"There you go again," the Shalane said. "Joking around to avoid facing something you find uncomfortable."
"What do you want me to say? That I agree with you?" "Well, I don't. I think Fenner's jealousy of Maywin is unfounded. Maywin and I have a professional understanding, because we're both charged with keeping the caravan safe. That is all. If Maywin were a big ugly woodsman with a moustache that smelled like week-old boar meat, then nobody would care whether I made him smile or not. This is all just because Maywin is a beautiful woman."
"Nice reasoning, Jen," the Shalane returned sarcastically. "Women don't typically see big, ugly, stinky woodsmen with boar-greased facial hair as competition for men they're trying to woo. Though I suppose your attraction to uncouth woodsmen would explain why you find it so easy to resist me unveiled."
Jen couldn't help but chuckle.
"I will concede that I can see why Fenner sees Maywin as competition, but what I'm saying is that she isn't."
He supposed it wouldn't be a good idea to bring up Maywin's offer to have Jen run away with her after Shatan dismissed him.
"Fair enough. But just remember what you learned today about being wrong, so that it won't come as such a shock next time."
Drying sweat made the Shalane's skin feel sticky as the day waned. The hike stretched her endurance to the limit. The river descended through the canyon by way of washing over a number of small drops that forced them to scrabble down steep rock faces, often wet, to get to the next walkable shore. In several difficult places, Jen took time to clear brush to ease her passage. In the back of her mind, the Shalane knew that if she sprained her ankle or broke her leg, the journey would take weeks. When they stopped for a rest in the late afternoon, she watched Jen fight to keep from dozing, splashing water on his face and stretching his muscles to resist the temptation to sit and close his eyes for a few moments. Only the river droned on beside them. Even the birds didn't sing, and they hadn't spoken for nearly an hour.
A tangible weariness, not of body, but of soul, wore upon her, though she couldn't explain why. After eating more roots and leaves, they started off again. The shore took them over a long boulder fall, requiring them to jump from rock to go forward. And by the time they came to the end of it, the shadows in the canyon had deepened at the approach of evening. Just ahead was another waterfall to traverse, and they went forward to see how difficult it would prove and whether or not they would attempt it before night fell. To her delight, the waterfall, some 20 feet high, fell into a wide pool surrounded by cedar and pine, and on the other side they could make out a series of small gazebos, crafted from a pale stone lining the water. These were set upon an expansive flooring of interlocking stone, so tightly fit that roots and weeds found no entrance into the cracks. A short distance beyond the pool, the river fell through a deep fall in a tight gap of the canyon. In the failing light, they could make out the entryway to an underground cave, bored out of the canyon itself, descending into darkness.
"It is beautiful," the Shalane remarked, eyes wide. "Should we try to reach it before dark?"
"No," Jen answered. "This is ancient work, though it has weathered unusually well. Almost anything might be in that cave. Bears, Uyumak, or worse. We'll stay up here tonight. If there is anything inside there, it won't be able to get to us as easily up here. Let's find a place to light a fire and spend the night." They worked together to drag driftwood from the river's edge to a shallow overhang in the cliff near the waterfall. Exhausted, the Shalane took one last look at the blue pool below her as Jen worked to light the fire, spinning a stick between his hands to ignite fragile tinder. Her muscles and feet hurt, and whether Jen liked to admit it or not, his every move betrayed his weariness. At length, the flames flickered happily, their welcome heat comforting sore muscles. She waited for him to sit down before returning to his side. While he searched the pack for the roots they had gathered earlier, she inspected his arms. The day's rough hike had ripped his shirt in several places, revealing numerous scrapes, bruises, and cuts. He took no notice of them, but she reached out to heal him.
"Save your strength," Jen said. "These are nothing." "Then hush. Little strength will be required."
She touched his arm, but before she could close her eyes and expend any effort, the wounds healed instantly. In surprise, she withdrew her hand and trembled. Frantically, she turned away, digging out her veil from her pocket and securing it over her head. Silently, she shed tears of joy and bitterness. Jen turned and handed her a root.
"Thank you for the healing, though it was unnecessary. And you're wearing your veil. You realized I was right about that after all, then?"
The Shalane nodded and chewed on the root slowly to gain time to compose her voice.
"The gazebos. I thought, well, we might find someone or something here. Perhaps Maywan knows this place and how to get here."
"Good thinking," Jen complimented her.
"Are you hurt anyway? I did find some herbs that might help with minor cuts a couple of days ago." "I'm well."
"I have a hard time believing you got through the whole day without so much as a scratch." "But," he said, examining at the flesh on her arms exposed by ripped sleeves,
"I can't find a mark on you. You're better in the wild than I thought."
"I'm afraid not," the Shalane returned, trying to keep the heartache out of her voice.
"Two Shalanes ago, we acquired the gift of immediately healing superficial wounds that might mar our physical appearance. As soon as I get a scrape, a blister or sunburn, it is healed."
"Very handy," Jen commented, running his hands through his hair to dislodge small bits of detritus that had collected during the day. "I could have used that during my training with Torbrand. All my scars must have seemed horrifying to you when you first met me. Was the first time you saw me in the Great Hall, or did you see me at the trials with your walls? I was quite a sight then. Just ask Fenner." The Shalane lifted her veil.
"Jen."
"Yes?"
"It's time for you to sleep now."
The Shalane leaned close to him, and running through the incantation in her mind, breathed softly on his startled face. At once his eyes closed and he collapsed. She caught him as he fell. Leaning back against the canyon wall, she cradled him. She knew he loved her now. She had wanted his love so badly, and now that she had it, she cursed herself for letting it happen.
Shaddan Cairn had wounded his body and she his heart. She had tortured him just as cruelly as his swordmaster, and she had yet to deliver the most painful cut of all. To undo it all. She removed her veil and wept quietly. Like her mother, she longed for Jen's love while feeling guilty for even wanting it. She suspected his attachment at the waterfall when she healed him without knowing, and now that she had confirmation, the guilt crushed her. Not only had she hurt him, but in her heart she was unfaithful to Shaddan, risking ruination of the prophecy and the world. I have to make things right again. She rehearsed the lies she would say and wondered if she had the strength or skill to convince him that any of them were true. The nights spent talking with him from the carriage, the teasing, the arguments, the irreverent jokes about Shaddan, the shared joys and pains of their trail through the canyon ranked as the dearest memories of her life. She wanted his touch, his kiss, his regard, and most of all, his heart. He was the only person in Keyhole she felt she could be totally honest and open with, including her mother. Somehow he understood her completely, weaknesses, follies, and sins, and loved her anyway, without expecting anything in return. She desperately wanted to give him everything.
Being a Shalane means forgetting yourself, she whispered, remembering one of Prelate Obelard's sermons from when she was young. While you will be crowned with glory, honour, and the gratitude of all peoples when your work is complete, your life must be your duty, your heart single, and your thoughts ever upon the Ha'ulric. Distraction from your purpose is the destruction of the world.
Never had that world seemed so distant, or her heart so filled with want. She sat and rubbed her protector's face, tracing his scars with her finger, his body a parchment she wished to imprint herself upon. Shaddan would never fill her heart or win her regard. Jen had done both. Jen's wisdom and deep devotion made Dayson's lively conversation and flirtation seem stupid. That she couldn't love and reward the man who had earned it, that she couldn't kiss him as her mother had, that she would bind herself to Shaddan and not to Jen, tore at her heart. Full dark came. A queasy sickness knotted her stomach and weakened her limbs. A soothing breeze arrived with the night, but it, combined with the steady rumble of the small falls nearby, could not coax her weary body to sleep. As she stared into the utter blackness beyond the firelight, fireflies emerged from cracks in the canyon walls, the first fireflies she had ever seen. She'd read of them before, but seeing them flit about, tiny lanterns in the gloom, brought some comfort to her tormented mind. At first only a few danced above the falls, their numbers gradually swelling, until a great cloud of them cast a yellow glow over where she sat. Then, as if at some prearranged signal, they dove as one over the edge of the falls and into the cove. So great were their numbers that she could still see faintly by their light. Laying Jen's head gently on the ground, she rose and hiked to the edge of the falls. What she saw took her breath away. Many of the fireflies danced over the pool, their reflection in the water doubling their numbers and their light. Small swarms of others had flown into each of the delicate gazebos, flying in loose spheres inside them, illuminating the cove. In her mind's eye, the Shalane imagined elven lords and ladies, graceful, noble and festive, dancing and talking together underneath the stars in the soft glow. The waterfall's noise seemed more like music now, and she thought she heard the song of birds in the branches of the trees below. She watched, entranced, until weariness overtook her and she turned back. She thought of waking Jen to show him, but couldn't bring herself to face him yet. After replenishing the fire, she knelt by her protector and unbuckled his sword belt. She laid the sword and scabbard across his chest, as he would have done, and instinctively he wrapped his arms around them. In the weak light, he looked positioned for death. The Shalane picked up his hand and held it to her heart.
"Please forgive me," she begged. "Happiness with Fenna is still yours to have. Someday, when we are old, I will find you and tell you the truth."
Placing his hand back on his sword, she curled up next to him. Laying her head on his shoulder, she fell into a deep sleep, not caring if danger found them. The familiar dream came again, and she ran. She knew the faces now, and the names.